This is the Lombardi Line with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard on VSiN.
We welcome you into this edition of the Lombardi Line from downtown Las Vegas and appreciate all of you joining us on a unique, somber Tuesday morning on the West Coast of the National Football League with Mike Pritchard, the longtime former NFL wide receiver. I'm Ben Wilson. We're also pleased to be joined by Michael Lombardi for the first half hour of the show today. I will welcome in Michael in just a second, but first, Pritch, as we still all as a sports community try to react and process what we saw last night, safety Damar Hamlin going into cardiac arrest, going to the hospital in Cincinnati, still in critical condition after being sedated last night for the Buffalo Bills. From your perspective, as we've had now, 12 hours to try and process this, having played for over a decade in the league, I can only imagine from that very small and small delegation of people in among the human population that have ever played in the NFL, that unique fraternity, what it's like to put your body on the line every single week. What were the feelings for you last night watching everything play out?
Ben, it was jolting, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, I was with Tim Murray on primetime, Beast in Primetime last night, and obviously watching the game, and we saw what happened in terms of the collapse with Damar, and it was jolting because as they kept going to commercial, you knew it was becoming more and more serious. And then when the ambulance goes onto the field, you know the severity of it is certainly at a high level. So typically you don't see that. Typically as players, you want to get off the field if you can. You know, if you have broken something and you can't walk, okay, maybe a car to come out for you. But when the ambulance comes out onto the field like that, there's something else going on. We didn't know what it was initially. But then as the details emerged, you started to instantly pray. You're right. I mean, the NFL is a fraternity. I'm still a member of the NFLPA and been a part of the National Football League for over 30 years. I have never encountered anything like that. I wouldn't know where to begin, how to handle it when it happens right in front of you like that. So obviously, a lot of people are shaken up, but more importantly, a lot of support coming in for the Hamlin family, certainly Damar himself, and prayers are everywhere and still needed. So he's a young man, a strong man, and fighting for his life, and I think that's what we have to focus on.
Yeah, for those of you tuning in wanting updates, or there's none to give, at least as of right now, the latest we got from the Buffalo Bills team at about 2 a.m. last night was that currently sedated and in critical condition, Damar Hamlin, after having his heartbeat restored on the field. That's all we know, at least of right now. We'll get to the statement from his family in just a moment, but let's first welcome in Michael Lombardi, kind of join us here on a Tuesday early afternoon from where he is at in New Jersey. Michael, similar to Mike Pritchard, who, you know, longtime player, unique part of that fraternity. You're part of the few who've been in league personnel and on the field for many years. What were your thoughts to what we saw last night?
You know, Ben, we all sign up for this incredibly great sport, and we accept the consequences of injuries and broken bones and torn ACLs. We get that. But last night, we took a step into a gray area that none of us have ever seen before. This was life or death, and it was very, very difficult. The emotions of the players on the field as we saw what was happening, the way they circled around to make sure that we at home weren't looking at what they were. They protected us. And as this young man was fighting for his life on the field, and those wonderful medical people were helping, were there to help at the highest level. And so I've never witnessed anything like this in my life. I have seen a cart come on the field. I've seen players, you know, tragically think that they had no feeling in their arms or legs and have to get carted off, and then hopefully they were restored. But this took it a step further. This was very difficult. And the emotion of the players, I think, will have a lasting effect. And I think it's certainly something that is going to affect me moving forward and those players who watch this. As Mike said, it's a fraternity. We're all in this together, and we all understand the dangers of the sport, but this is a danger that didn't really come into it. And it really took it back. And I think that whatever was going on between the time the ambulance left the field and they officially called the game, I don't think it was a hard decision. It was the only decision.
As something I saw you you were writing this morning, you're getting ready to write your normal weekly column for us at VSiN, and I thought what you said really prescient, that your quote, you've got to make tough decisions, sometimes unpopular decisions, whatever it is, if it's the right move at the right time, you've got to be also willing to make mistakes. And you think about from Sean McDermott's perspective and from Zach Taylor, the two head coaches I would imagine.
Well, that was Ben. That was a quote that was attributed to Sean McDermott a while ago.
Yeah.
And so what I wanted to do is, as I was researching for a column this morning, I wanted to bring light on that quote because I think Sean understood it. I could tell from Sean's face the minute that he went on the field, his tears were coming down. I could tell there was no way he was going to allow his team to continue playing in that game. He was going to take his team to the hospital, whether the NFL wanted it or not. And I don't want to be critical of the NFL because I don't think they did anything wrong. I don't want to imply that at all. I think they understood the gravity of the situation, and I think they understood the emotions on that field were something that we have never experienced before in our NFL lifetime in terms of how grave the danger was, life or death.
Yeah, that's the thing, Pritch, that I want to bring up on your perspective, too, because NFL, a lot of people were hard on them last night for the reports we saw on the broadcast that it was brought up, gave them an initial five-minute warm-up period, and that's eventually when the coaches came together at midfield and clearly put an end to that. As much as it, tempting in the moment to say, NFL, what are you doing? How could you be so insensitive? At the same time, in an unprecedented moment like this, I find myself this morning waking up, having time to process it, and thinking just how shocked and in stunned disbelief everybody had to have been in the moment, and that obviously the smarter heads prevailed ultimately, but that it's hard to really put a ton of blame on the NFL for the indecision that happened in that moment when
right.
We just didn't know what was going on.
Well, I mean, instantly we saw, Cincinnati players warming up, and then we saw, some emotion being displayed by Buffalo too. And, the players with Buffalo, I think obviously more familiar with what was going on. Michael pointed out perfectly about how they surrounded and kind of shielded everybody for what they were witnessing. So the amount of time that the ambulance was on the field, it was different than removing the face mask and strapping somebody's helmet to keep them still and then upload them onto a gurney and put them inside an ambulance. I mean, it was lengthy. So obviously the medical personnel were doing all they can to save DeMar, as we know now. And the Bills players were showing us that emotion. At no point did I think that game was going to proceed. I think in the National Football League, we are a creature of habits, and we certainly have routines. If you get stiff and things like that, maybe you might loosen up. But no, from an emotional state, there was no way that those players were ready to go.
Yeah. Michael, I would think, look, if there's one good thing that we've at least seen from the human element of all of this, it's the fact that if we compare, going back from three decades or so, And just to now where we're at, the fact that universally speaking, we were all able to come together last night and identify in the moment that the game could not continue, had to be stopped. I was thinking back and reading about the Dennis Byrd incident from 92 when he had a severe neck injury against the Chiefs, and how in retrospect, a lot of players on both sides of the ball said there's no way we should have played. But back then it was just kind of the culture. We just went ahead and played. From your perspective, having you were in the league, obviously, at that time, Pritch was playing at the time. How far do you believe we have come, at least from the societal beliefs, where we can at least understand and identify something like this in the moment and have the proper perspective and context instead of just saying, all right, let's get back on the field, it's the NFL, we're playing?
Well, I think this is different than anything that we've experienced. I think if you ask Pete Rozelle, the former commissioner, the man who really brought the league to where we are today, started it, the biggest decision he made was playing that Sunday after President Kennedy was killed. And he regretted that decision because the human element is far greater than the football element. And Mike Ditka played in Pittsburgh that day at the Chicago Bears, and he was angry to have played. And he makes one of the greatest runs you'll ever see as a tight end in that game because of the anger that he had. And he didn't think it was fair. And then for me personally, I'm in my office at the Oakland Raiders, and it's 6 o'clock in the morning, or 5:45, and I had just gotten my second cup of coffee, and I walk past the general manager's office, who can remain nameless, and I see on his big screen television the Trey Towers, and I see the fire in the Trey Towers, and my initial reaction was, oh, I guess a prop plane must have got, and then you realize the gravity of the situation, and 10 minutes later from watching it, I said to this guy, there's no way we're playing football this weekend. We can't play football this weekend. And, of course, naturally, he said, of course we're going to play football this weekend. And we didn't, thankfully, because it's bigger than football. There are things that are bigger than the brown ball. And last night was bigger than the brown ball. And we as human beings, and players are human. I think Mike can speak to this. You know, they're not machines. You just don't turn it off and on. There's emotion that goes into what you're doing and how you're feeling. And you, when one of your brothers has fallen on the field to a point where it's beyond anything that we've ever expected, that can shatter your world.
Yeah, it can. You know, Michael, and I was on Follow the Money with Mitch and Polly this morning, and I mentioned this. You know, every year that I was in the league, even in college, as you're going to the locker room, you know, getting off the bus or whatever, you always saw it. But it was a subtle reminder, right? You didn't really pay attention to it, but you noticed it. And that was the ambulance, right? And mm-hmm. So last night made me reflect on that each and every time I walked into the locker room, that you didn't want to end up in that, right? But you put it out of sight, out of mind a lot of times when you're playing this game. But the vivid nature of last night, just a constant reminder for me as a former player, and I think going forward for a lot of other guys coming up this weekend or whenever the Buffalo Bills and Cincinnati Bengals get back on the field, they're going to take a second look at that ambulance because they saw that right in front of them last night.
At least for right now, we have certainly a lot more to get to. Mike will join us in the next segment as well, but not the normal type of Lombardi line we would do today. There's not going to be betting discussion. We're not going to break down Week 18 lines. We'll give you the update, too. The family has released a statement from DeMar Hamlin this morning, which we'll get to in a second. We'll also update some of the numbers. Again, part of the human element that has been very positive and good to see on the GoFundMe for the community toy drive that has now raised nearly $3.5 million there. So we'll update you on that next. Michael Lombardi will stick around for one more segment, along with Mike Pritchard and myself here on the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. And in addition to the fact that as we begin today on the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Mike Pritchard, no new information as of this morning for us on the West Coast on the status of DeMar Hamlin, other than he is currently sedated, listed in critical condition. That was the message from the Buffalo Bills team last night. There's also no new betting angles. Game remains indefinitely postponed. We'll let you know if the NFL decides anything. But as of now, that's all that we have for the moment. Was a statement, though, at least released just a little while ago from the family of DeMar Hamlin. So saying on behalf of the family, want to express our sincere gratitude for the love and support shown to DeMar during the challenging time. We are deeply moved by the prayers, kind words, and donations from fans around the country. We also want to acknowledge the dedicated first responders and healthcare professionals at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center who provided exceptional care to DeMar. We feel, again, this is the statement from his family, we feel so blessed to be part of the Buffalo Bills organization and have their support. We also want to thank Coach Taylor and the Bengals for everything they've done. Your generosity and compassion mean the world to us. Please keep DeMar in your prayers. We will release updates as soon as we have them. Again, that is from the Hamlin family. And seeing this morning that the toy drive that DeMar Hamlin started for local kids back when he was a student athlete at the University of Pittsburgh had a goal of raising about $2,500. As of last night, that was at about $500,000. And as of today, right now, we're at our screenshot from a little while ago, it was about $3.5 million. And that is rising to nearly $4 million. So at least... guys, Pritch and Michael, at least for that, Michael, good to see. And obviously, yeah. It has brought everybody together in a very positive way from what we saw at about 9 p.m. Eastern time last night.
You know, I think sometimes that just reminds us that we all have, when we work together, the intentions are so incredible. You know, what was to me eerie last night is the silence in 65,000 people in that stadium, and you could have heard a pin drop. As everybody waited and we were all looking from home and in the stadium to hopefully to see DeMar, you know, feel like there was going to be some resolution that he was going to be okay. And nobody complained. Nobody was upset. Nobody was, you know, everything was about the player. And I think that, as I tweeted last night, if the NFL, and I'm not accusing them of not wanting this because I think they really did, you know, we talk player safety. We talk the importance of players. I mean, this is really the shining moment of when we must all stand together. And I think America stood together with DeMar by raising money for a charity and giving back. And I think you'll see that from the reaction of everybody, not just in the sports field, but all over.
And again, if you can look that up, it's the Chasing M's Foundation Community Toy Drive, still accepting donations as of right now. Again, it's nearly $4 million raised. And yeah, Pritch, it's just from the, again, from the player perspective and having been there when guys have been, whether it's, you know, injury, any sort of adversity, this obviously going to the farthest of scales you could possibly have on that end of the spectrum. But if from the perspective of at least trying to get yourself ready to then go out and play, like I think about where the Buffalo Bills, Cincinnati Bengals players are at right now today, where the Bills players, they went back to Orchard Park late last night, the majority of them. Well, if you were out there and you were one of those two teams, where's your head at today, given what we saw?
That's a great question, because there's not an answer to it. I think from my own personal experience, you know, I lacerated my kidney in 94, and I got arrived in the hospital in an ambulance. I passed out, and so the unknown was the unknown for my teammates and certainly for everybody else. But I was admitted to ICU. I didn't lose my kidney. I wasn't in critical condition or anything like DeMar. But you know, the outpouring support is there, and then the curiosity and certainly you want to know what's going on is there. So I think for players, if I'm a Buffalo Bill right now, I want to know what's going on. You know, some guys went to the hospital. They're not going to give them be privy to a lot of information and say that some of the team went back to Buffalo. I don't know how much information they're going to receive right now either. So it's just that ongoing process of wanting to know what's going on with DeMar and caring about him. And football is the furthest thing from your mind right now.
Right. And I mean, Michael, from if you're in the front office right now, whether it's from the GM perspective, coaching perspective, anybody else, is there anything else? Are you even doing anything football wise right now? Is this just all support and team related here, worrying about the safety of DeMar Hamlin at this point?
You know, what I would be doing if I were the GM of the Bills, and I'm sure they are, is I would try to get as many therapists around to help the players.
Yeah.
We're in an area of concern, because what they witnessed last night on the field, what we witnessed and didn't see it, is going to be traumatic moving forward. And this isn't going to go away in a day or an hour. It's traumatic. And you know, we all understand the rules of engagement on a football field. We know that there's potential for injury, but life-threatening injury was not really what we think can happen. And so because of that, you know, and what they had to see is those great medical technicians attended to DeMar, they have to kind of go through the process. And the club and the league have to help the players through that. I think the players on both sides. Because one thing football requires, or business requires, or any job requires, is a level of concentration. And when your mind is on something else, and certainly it should be in this case, it's hard to concentrate. And so football is really irrelevant. And that was my point of when I made the statement about 9/11. There was nothing bigger than watching that. There was no way we could play football and have our players focus on what they had to do, because that paled in comparison to the events that occurred in Lower Manhattan that day. So to me, that's what I would be trying to do. I think there's a mental health that has to get talked to, and I would try to do that as much as players. You know, we all think of players, and Mike can speak to this, as macho tough guys. We're all sensitive, right?
Yeah.
And we all react to a brother. And let's face it, we are all in this. You know, what I wrote about today is when me becomes we, they stand stronger together, and that we is a bond that never breaks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Michael, well said too, by the way. I think of any type of participation in team sports, you know, you think about the word family a lot of times, and you know, no truer word right there to describe Buffalo in that community and certainly that football team. I mean, there's some franchises in Atlanta, there's some franchises in New York, there's franchises across you know, the country, LA, but the unique nature of this franchise in Buffalo, I mean, you can truly define that franchise by using the word family.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just saw somebody post this on Twitter today. And I felt this, right? I felt this, and I talked about it a little earlier. There was a fan in the stands. He said not one Bill fan or Bengal fan left their seat. Mm. The entire stadium was silent. The entire Bills team was around the ambulance. The entire Bengal team was on one knee. You know, everybody in the sections, whether it was Bill fans or Bengal fans, they broke out in prayer. You know, and grown men were crying and strangers were linked arm to arm. And I think that was so powerful. I could see it from my chair in my living room. You know, it's bigger than football. And it brought people together because the life of DeMar and his health is the only thing that matters.
Again, Michael Lombardi kind of joined us here for the first half hour or so on the Lombardi line. From the perspective from, again, the front office, I think what you said, very prescient. You're trying to get as many therapists available for as many players who want it right now. And so I'd imagine like the point of what you do today from the front office perspective is you put the players in a position to be taken care of, let them go through whatever process they need to as we wait for more information on DeMar Hamlin. If you're in the front office, though, because eventually, and we're going to at some point have to turn the corner here and figure out what is next, what would you be talking to the league office about? What would you be pushing for, given there's a lot of, a lot still on the line here and a lot of questions that have to be answered as far as how the schedule's played out?
I think there's only one answer to that time. I think there's time. I think you can't make any decisions until some time has gone. Not time that we're going to forget. Not time that we're going to be able to move on. Time to hopefully offer some clarity. Just a little bit. Not a lot. Just a little bit. We need time. And whether the players think they need it or not, everybody's going to need to talk to somebody to go through what we all witnessed last night. And we do this, you know, when we bring soldiers back from the violence of war, you know, there's that stress that they go under that they think because they're soldiers, they can handle it. And yet we know they can't. So I think that's really about time. And I think that's ultimately all you can do as an executive is time. I mean, look, it doesn't matter. We'll get to football when the time is right.
Right.
We don't need football right now. We'll get to it when the time is right.
We appreciate, Michael, you taking the time. Normally, you're off to here on the air, but obviously a very unique day and show for us. So appreciate it, Michael. Good to see you, and we'll see you back again on the show tomorrow.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right.
Take care.
Pritch will continue the discussion next. We had a cardiologist come on from earlier in the day, Follow the Money, our show with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard. We'll have some of that conversation for people wondering here on the medical implications, looking at DeMar Hamlin. We'll also continue to update you if we get any more new information and news there. Again, for us, not a lot of betting discussion today in the NFL. It's obviously bigger than that right now. So we'll continue the discussion when we come back on the Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber for only $79 and get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. Sign up today and you'll also receive $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear at our online store. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, betting splits, and betting reports. This is a limited time offer. So sign up now and get VSiN Pro access through the end of March Madness at vsin.com/subscribe. As you've probably figured out by now, not a normal show for us today. Matt Perino, who is a Bills beat reporter, is set to join us in the next hour of our show, about 1:30 p.m. Eastern. We certainly appreciate everybody like who's in that Buffalo media market. This is unlike anything they've ever dealt with. You think about how well it was handled by ESPN last night, every professional involved there on the broadcast, as well as our own Femi Ebebefe, Wes Reynolds, who... You know, you and I both have been, we're kind of tuned and used to being on the air when games are happening to talk solely from a betting perspective. You've been part of our kind of showcase Super Bowl betcast for several years now. Yeah. And so for Femi and Wes to navigate it the way they did when you're in our position, you're asked to talk about the game from the numbers, from the betting, and that's it. And yet it obviously was much, much different for them. And obviously you were part of that too last night. So job well done to everybody for covering that. We appreciate Matt, who will join us in a little bit, but it's not something you can ever prepare for. And that's what people have to realize. It's just it's completely jarring and it does kind of take you a little bit.
Yeah, it really does, Ben. I mean, I think any tragic situation, it's how are we going to respond as humans, right? And Michael Lombardi talked about that. It's more involved than that, than trying to resolve our own issues or resolve what frustrations we might have. And we saw that play out too from a media perspective, and people were mad at the NFL and really looked at other factors more so than Hamlin, you know, DeMar. And I mean, it's such an emotional situation. Football, playing that game is so emotional anyway. Like, there's a buildup, right? And you know, we use emotion. But then sometimes we can't control emotion. And when something vivid like that happened, like it did last night, okay, we see it play out. But then, mm-hmm. like, I think you mentioned this before, and maybe, you know, as bettors or fans, you know, you look at athletes as robots, right? And, you know, but that's not the case. I mean, it's real life. Michael Lombardi talked about this in terms of support system, and there's a system in place in terms of counseling, but more counseling is going to be needed. Different types of counseling is certainly going to be needed. You know, this type of tragedy sticks with you forever. It's not move on, you know, move to drill. It's nothing like that. I mean, this sticks with you forever. And, you know, just personally, and I mentioned this before, you know, in college, we lost a teammate, Sal Inesi, to stomach cancer. And, you know, his diagnosis was in the spring ball. And so we were with them through his fight all throughout the offseason into the season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he ended up passing away during our bye week, which, you know, you think about things and you wonder why things happen the way they do. We had the services and we played a week later.
Yeah.
This was my junior year, and we were undefeated that year. But the point is times have changed from that too now, right? And I don't know if people can expect the NFL to just prod along and move on and move the drill here when somebody almost lost their life last night. So put that in perspective, and certainly keep DeMar Hamlin and his family in your prayers.
Such a great point. Now, nothing much else to add on that. You put it very well, at least for from the medical perspective. We did have a cardiologist, Dr. Fred Feit, professor of medicine at NYU. He was on Follow the Money earlier this morning to talk about things and what we should expect now going forward as DeMar Hamlin remains in critical condition. Here was that interview from this morning.
You've been in this field for a long, long time. You've probably seen everything. What was your reaction to the video last night when you saw DeMar Hamlin go down like that?
Yeah, just about everything. First of all, thanks for having me on. And as everybody's saying, thoughts and prayers with the young man. But it looked pretty clear cut that he suffered a blow to the chest. And then he obviously didn't have any major injury to the musculoskeletal system, because he bounced right up. And then after standing up for about maybe 2 or 3 seconds, he suddenly just dropped backwards. No attempt to break his fall. And that is a classical manifestation of what we call ventricular fibrillation, that his heart rhythm just became totally irregular. And the word fibrillation, you could picture it. Ordinarily, the heart is contracting rhythmically, and that's why the blood is being ejected. You know, the heart rate is typically 70 to 100, probably a little higher with these guys running around. But when he took that hit to the chest, it's a 1 in 100,000 thing, a violent hit or a pretty significant hit just to the exact right spot at the exact wrong moment, we could say, in the cardiac cycle. There's during every cardiac cycle, a beat to beat, about 1% of that cycle is a very vulnerable period where if you take a hit like that, it could set your heart into ventricular fibrillation. I would be shocked if this was anything else. Now, this is extremely rare. It is very, very rare. There's a case a couple of years ago of a soccer player who had something very similar happen. The most important thing in this, and one of the things we do in healthcare systems, is we're constantly drilling for things that almost never happen. So I can't go in and do a cardiac cath without doing a timeout and talking about the fire drill and talking about the active shooter drill and knowing everything that we do in any kind of situation. anything that's rare like this, you just have to pretend that it's not rare. And with whoever that is on the sideline, and obviously the doctors, I'm guessing, are mostly orthopedics, but that doesn't mean those are some of the smartest guys and gals, you know, in the whole medical profession, and they have to be aware of this, that when somebody collapses like this, that this is a cardiac arrhythmia first and foremost, and the most important thing is immediate CPR, pump on his chest, and if you do add it, you can pump on somebody's chest. The critical number is not how long you're pumping, that does matter, but the most critical number is the time from when the event took place to when the pumping starts. So as soon as they looked at him and he was down, not breathing, not moving, and I don't know how quickly they started doing it, the answer is to check for a pulse, and if there's no pulse, immediately start CPR. Hook him up to the AED, the automatic external defibrillator, which they had there, and that will correctly diagnose the rhythm and convert his heart. The condition is called commotio cordis. As I said, it's extremely rare, about 20 events per year in this country.
What happens now, and how important is today for the young man?
Say again?
What happens next, and how important are the...
So he has a breathing tube in, which is pretty routine. He is said to have normal vital signs, which, presuming if those vital signs are normal without any support, meaning norepinephrine, what we call vasopressors, I think if he was requiring support, they would say it. I think the fact that they say his vital signs are normal means that his heart probably has not suffered any meaningful damage. If I had to take a bet, the most important thing is whether there's any other end organ damage. And again, the whole critical thing here is effective CPR. If he had effective CPR from the beginning and was converted back into regular rhythm in a matter of minutes, I would say the odds are pretty good that he should be able to make a full recovery.
I was going to say, Doctor, can you define pretty good?
No, not without being there. If you tell me, you have to give me the parameters here, but if you tell me that, and I don't believe this to be the case, because I think if you look carefully at the video, whatever is available, it does look like the instant thing was a little bit of milling around and looking at him, and they were probably thinking head injury is my guess. So if you tell me they started CPR and it was done well, which I would have to guess it was, within 90 seconds to 2 minutes, and then they hooked them up to the AED within a couple of minutes, and it immediately recognized the rhythm and converted them back into regular rhythm, very, very good. I guess number 80%, 85%. Okay. Number doesn't mean anything because it's either 100 or zero. But I would be very optimistic.
All right. Thanks to Dr. Fred Feit again for joining Follow the Money. We will come back on the Lombardi Line, have some more thoughts when we return.
To the Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score prop bet on any NBA game. If your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game. If your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in free bets. Turn game time into showtime with BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Again, thanks to Dr. Fred Feit, who joined our Follow the Money show with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard earlier today, a professor of medicine at NYU, and probably the takeaway as we continue to get a wait word on the status of DeMar Hamlin, who remains in critical condition while being sedated there at the UC Medical Center in Cincinnati. Pritch, at least you can take some positives away from that. And I think any of us watching what unfolded last night, if there was anybody we knew in the medical community, we were on the phone with them. And that was me with my parents, who both served in ERs in Milwaukee for 3 decades, each of them. And they both felt like, okay, with their general thought kind of reflected what Dr. Fite came on and said, where there should be a very positive outlook as far as DeMar Hamlin making a recovery here. But obviously still a lot of worry and concern, at least as of this moment.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we won't know everything. And, you know, as players, and again, you asked me the question about the players on Buffalo and the guys that are still in Cincinnati, maybe they'll get more information, quicker or sooner than the guys who actually went back. And that's definitely what you would want to know as a player, as a teammate, as a brother, as a family member. And I think, everybody, the league's going to be aware of that too. And they're monitoring the situation. I mean, obviously this is something that we hope never happens again, right? I mean, even the cardiologist talked about how rare this is, but it did occur, and certainly everybody's dealing with it that way. But DeMar Hamlin, he's a young athlete, right? And you know, young athletes, and it's a reminder about taking care of yourself, hopefully, and being in shape, hopefully, and having that fighting chance, right? And you know, it is different that way. And I think prayers are certainly helping, but from what we know so far, it is encouraging, right? Yeah. What's going on with the situation?
No question. And look, for anybody who, like you, who has played, who has dealt with any sort of health adversity, again, what we saw last night is on the far extreme of that scale, yeah. But to try and help put it in perspective, and you suffer a lacerated kidney in 94, yeah. You go to the hospital. I mean, doctors are saying, forget about playing, like you're done. I have to think that it was such a jarring experience for you to go through, and it probably put your view of playing and putting pads on in a different light going forward.
Well, I wish it did, Ben. To be honest with you, when I was in there, I asked the doctor, okay, when am I going to be able to play again? I mean, that's just the mentality. He's like, no, you could lose your kidney. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay, wait a minute. And then everything else happened, and then I ended up in an ICU. I wasn't out of the woods once I arrived at the hospital. How about that? And then you're in ICU for 2 weeks. I was in there for a couple weeks, and not trying to put it in perspective to what DeMar is dealing with,
right,
but it's in terms of the attitude as a player, and again, because I think, when will normalcy return? And, you know, that's the question I think a lot of people have, and you can't rush that right now. You know, you shouldn't even be thinking about that. I mean, I think when I lacerated my kidney and I'm feeling okay, I don't hurt. Okay. Yeah. I can go out there and play again. But the reality was, no, you can't, your career might be over. But you know, this is somebody's life situation. So like I said, I mean, football mentally, not even in the thought process of when everything like that's going to resume.
Right, and now we sit today, no new information, but the unfortunate reality is it's nearly 1 p.m. on the East Coast on a Tuesday, where we have no idea what's going to happen. We still don't know, and I doubt any – look, no, we figure that no decision will be made until more is known about the health status of DeMar Hamlin, who, again, remains in critical condition there at the hospital in Cincinnati. But if you're sitting there as a player, and this, you know, this applies if you're a Buffalo Bill, a Cincinnati Bengal, or any of the other 30 teams in the NFL, it's hard for me to look at the calendar logistically and say there is any case to be made for trying to squeeze this game in, fit in another game next week, and just get back onto a normal schedule. I just don't see a world in which that happens. What would you be pushing for, at least as a player, once you're able to get process the original emotions that are obviously going on right now?
You know, the NFL has built in weeks on the NFL calendar, and we know them to be the bye week after the regular season for the number one seed, and we also know of the bye week prior to the Super Bowl after the conference championship games. And, from a competitive standpoint, and certainly the NFL always works from a competitive standpoint, and you know, the mental capacity of not only Buffalo and Cincinnati, I mean, the other 30 teams watch that too. And I mentioned this before in the earlier segments about you take a second look at that ambulance now, right? And then the reality and the thought process of, wow, in a million years, I never thought that could be the extreme of what I'm doing. But now it's in your thought process. That's the extreme of what you're doing out there. And so I could see circumstances or situations in which the league just pushes back the schedule a week and takes away the bye weeks and proceeds that way. I mean, to me, that keeps the competitiveness in balance, right? It gives everybody a bye week, which, you know, with COVID a few years ago, that was a discussion too. Right. So I think a lot of things are being talked about, obviously, and certainly a lot of options are on the table. But that's just one that came to mind, you know, last night and even earlier this morning.
Yeah, well, like when I hear, you know, you and hearing Michael Lombardi talk about it to the degree where, like, there's nothing you can do except let time take hold for a couple of days and try to help reassess things.
Right.
When I hear that being said, and those, you know, Michael, someone who was in front offices for three decades, you were a player, college, NFL for the better part of two decades. I can't help but think there's no real good logistical value to try to force something in, and whether that is pushing everything back a week,
right,
whether that is calling what the game last night a no contest and moving forward, because while there are some implications, they're not severe enough to the degree where you'd really feel like it resulted in competitive unbalance. Those to me are really the only two options that would make sense. Again, we have no idea what's going to happen. No point in us speculating, but from the logical standpoint, I would have to think that's the only way forward to keep a semblance of the season here going in the proper way, given just the severity of what happened.
Yeah, I mean, we've had and operated in the league before without a bye week leading into a Super Bowl, you know, and so after the conference championships, you're going right to the Super Bowl. That has taken place, and okay, the bye week, and so you take away the bye week for this number two seed, only the number one seed gets to bye, but in this situation, you know, maybe you use that week to kind of get everything close to what it used to be, right? From a competitive standpoint, that's where I'm speaking of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's across the league. That's across the board. And, you know, I'm sure Troy Vincent, you know, certainly Roger Goodell, all these people, and there's a lot of people involved in the conversations right now, in addition to the owners and the GMs and the coaches there, that's going to be involved in the situation. So, and that's the league, But knowing how the league has worked over decades, I mean, they still are so conscious about the competitive nature of their product, though.
I just ask, if they move the schedule back a week, do any of the 32 teams complain or raise an issue with that?
No, because Michael Lombardi talked about...
Bigger, right?
Yeah. I mean, not only Buffalo and Cincinnati, from a counseling standpoint, I mean, I'm sure there's a number of players... the realization is, like I mentioned, I'm seeing it from some of my friends, some former teammates, about never thought of that, you know? And so, again, it's you're going to take a double take at that ambulance. You're going to look at the EMTs. You're going to look at all this stuff as if you didn't do it before because of the realization of what truly can happen to you out there.
Yeah, and again, when it's bigger than the game,
right,
a situation that happened last night, you would think, and the fact that we've seen already the very positive outpouring and the way the league has reacted maybe differently than it would have, say, when you were playing in the early 90s,
just the
way the culture has adapted over time, you would certainly hope that there's that can carry over and at least help the NFL from the top level, from the scheduling and the decision makers to put the league and the individual teams and players in their own best interests and potentially move things back. But it would stun me at this point. Again, we have no idea what's going to happen. It would stun me if this game ends up being played at any point this week. Again, we'll see what happens. Still have no idea, but we appreciate all of you hanging out with us on a Tuesday. Very unique show for us today and obviously for a very good reason. As we continue on, we'll talk some college football. There are some more bowl games still to discuss, including the national championship game, which we'll start our breakdown of next segment. And also we'll get some insight from a Bills beat reporter in Matt Perino. That is all still to come in hour number two.